guys, welcome to episode 51 Inside the Cage. 51, man. It's going to get. It's going to still surprise me every week when I do that.
Yeah.
Every week.
Just wait to get 100, man. You'll be sitting there just jaw dropped.
One thing I'm annoyed about, my listen counts that we were bugging about. We've hit 1,000 listens, for anybody who doesn't know.
Okay,
we put it all over social media, but it doesn't now say like 1,001, 1,002, so I've no idea how many we've actually got in total now. It hasn't kept counting. It gets to 1K, and then obviously when it gets to the next break, which I'm hoping isn't another 1,000, because I can't handle that.
I imagine it'll be every 100.
Maybe 100, or maybe even...
About 1.1.
10 or something, I don't know.
Maybe 1.1, 1.2, something like
that. Still can't handle that. It's going to be like 5 episodes till we get a 100, so... But yeah, for episode 51, guys, I guess we're just going to jump straight in. Go for a look at Moscow.
Aye, well, we were obviously at the weekend when this was on.
Yeah.
Went up with a few beverages, went fitted, got kilt fitted for your bed and stuff like that. So it was a good wee day, and we ended up in the pub. And a few drinks happened, and a few more drinks happened. And we sat and watched UFC Moscow main event, the main card in the pub. And the two of us both woke up yesterday, texted each other and said, "Do you remember anything from UFC Moscow?" And I went, "I remember fuck all. Not gonna lie, I don't remember much at all.
I remember bits of it.
Remember bits and pieces. But I think this sums up UFC Moscow card.
Yeah, it was poor.
I think it was poor. Get me wrong, there was some really good finishes, but most of it was just poor.
It wasn't very good. Volkov looked gun shy, and Hardy just is not on that
Volkov's
level.
Volkov's not a massive hitter anyway. Volkov's not a point fighter. He goes out.
And Volkov could have knocked him out though.
He could have. MD could have knocked Greg Hardy out if he can fight, he can box. If you can hit properly, you can knock Greg Hardy out.
Greg Hardy's not on that level yet.
Nah,
whether he gets there, don't know. You can't tell these things. You don't know how good he's going to get, but he's not on that level, and that's simply why he could beat 30.
I've looked at this fight again since. Also, I pure slated the fact that UFC gave this fight to Greg Hardy.
Yeah, you scrubbed them out on your predictions. You I literally scrubbed his face out.
I wanted him to basically. I don't know. I didn't want to have a good night. I'm going to put it that way. That's probably the best way.
He didn't have a good night.
What I was going to say was. The UFC know what type of fighter Volkov is as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a massive heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So what better fight to give Greg Hardy a ranked guy to give Greg Hardy than Alexander Volkov?
Mm-hmm.
He's not been knocked out, so straight away doesn't look bad on Greg Hardy.
Oh, I thought you meant Volkov hasn't been knocked out. I meant Lewis knocked him out, but you mean Greg Hardy?
I'm talking about Greg Hardy.
Yep.
It doesn't look bad on Greg Hardy that he's not been knocked out.
No.
He get beaten on points by a far better fighter than him.
Who was going to beat him on points?
Who was going to beat him on points. So the UFC have lost nothing with Greg Hardy, and Greg Hardy's still the superstar they want him to
be. But it's also done nothing for either guy.
It was never going to do anything. It was a filler fight. Until what was supposed to be a brilliant fight as the main event wasn't.
Well, I've read some stuff online and... Obviously, I do remember bits of Zabit, Calvin, and some of it was good, but people are saying obviously it should have been a 5-round fight, and it would have been maybe a potentially a different story, but...
Was it not supposed to be in the main event for Boston, was it?
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a main event for Boston, why was it a 5-round fight? Because it was an extra 3 or 4 weeks to get ready for
it. Because it wasn't a main event on this card.
But then...
Volkov versus...
JDS.
JDS was the main event on this card. That's why. So they were only training for 3 rounds.
Like for the last 3 weeks?
Well, no, because it got cancelled long before that.
Yeah, true.
It cancelled like 3 or 4 weeks out before, so this week's almost a half a camp, mate. So you can't expect guys who've been training for 3 rounds to then just jump up to 5. I've got no issue with the fact it wasn't a 5-rounder.
No, it doesn't bother me either, to be honest, because I don't know why I watch it for 5 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know, it wasn't great. Man, people are saying like Zabit looked good and, you know, his intensity, but he's always weird and... He's striking, but just what I've seen since. Also, I know we didn't watch it all like completely drilled to it on Saturday. I've seen bits and pieces, and I wasn't overly impressed, to be honest.
It was decent, as you say. I wasn't impressed with Zabit. I've seen Zabit fight a hell of a lot better than what he fought on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I read one or two things online today, basically saying he's ready for a title shot. Well, after that performance, he's not.
Yeah, I think he still has to fight Ortega or Zombie. I think the winner of Ortega Zombie should fight each other. And the winner of Ortega Zombie should fight Zabit, and whoever wins that gets
a shot. I would definitely take that. I think that's not a bad shout. For me, Zabit needs one more fight, because I think if he goes out and fights a Max Holloway or an Alexander Volkanovski with the tenacity the endurance, the non-stop, I'm just going to punch your head in, ability of they two, he may struggle.
Yeah.
And but to be honest, it'd be hilarious to see him fight Volkanovski. Volkanovski's like 5 foot and he's like 6'2".
It'd be odd.
It'd be strange to look at.
It'd be
at.
So different because it'd be a different, difficult style.
Very different.
I guess that's got to be the next thing though for Zabit. Zabit's got to be looking above. He's got to be saying, listen, I want that money fight. I want the fight. Is he,
see if he
first in line or does he have to fight again?
See if he'd went out on Saturday night and knocked Calvin Kattar out. Or
he's never going to knock him out though.
Finish it. Finish the fight.
I think Calvin's too smart to go to the ground though. That was on the thing.
Yeah, of course he is. But if Zabit went out and finished that fight, that'd have proved to me maybe he was ready for a title fight.
Yeah.
There's no point in pushing him. I'm sure Zabit's still quite young. He's not the oldest guy.
Quite a lot of decisions on this card as well. We get only one finish on the main card.
Yeah, but what a finish that was.
Aye.
Danny Roberts, left hand. It looked like a bit of a jab, but it just totally rocked Amadaev.
Game over.
It was game over, as soon as it happened. It was brilliant to see.
Danny was buzzing, man. Danny was absolutely buzzing.
Brilliant for Danny, man.
Tough for Danny, because he's not really had a good rap, you know?
He's always one of these fighters. He'll take any fight, any time, any place again.
Yeah. Decent. I mean, was it a decent card? It's hard to tell. It's one of these things you just don't know. It's like, it didn't seem that good. And I guess when there's very little. Holy shit, man. Did you see that?
Aye. By the way, we're watching, we've got the UFC, we've always got the UFC on when we're watching this, always a wee thingy on it, so it's on.
We're just watching Ankaya. I didn't see any of the prelims, but Ankaya's front kick on Lungi Ambula is possibly one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my whole life.
It was
absolutely perfect.
That was absolutely tremendous, man. It was brilliant. There was a couple of highlights on the prelims, actually. I've seen a couple of bits of pieces.
Zavada's
triangle choke was absolutely superb, and I was so surprised by that.
Oh, we both picked Nurmagomedov.
You just see a name, don't you, sometimes, and you just
is good though.
No, he is a very good fighter, don't get me wrong. And obviously he's come, you've seen Khabib, I've seen pictures of Khabib. Khabib looks absolutely raging.
Yeah, he was not happy.
No.
Because then they're obviously thinking to themselves, that should not happen to any of their guys.
Nah, definitely.
And his team. You know, none of them should be getting submitted like that. None of them. And no offense to David Zawada. David Zawada should not be submitting to Nurmagomedov. So
David Zavada, I thought David Zavada was finished. I thought he two poor, obviously poor losses. He lost to Danny Roberts and lost to Li Jianlan, which for fair, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I thought if he didn't win this fight, he probably wasn't fighting the UFC any longer. Because that was his first two fights in the UFC that he lost. And if he'd lost this fight, he was done. I think he knew how much this probably meant. You seen that his reaction at the end, he was jumping a bit like a madman. It was fair play to him. Really was.
What about the fight of the nights? Or the performance bonuses? You got one fight of the night, Zabit and Carter. Maybe you and I have missed the boat on Zabit Carter. Maybe you and I, like,
maybe we should watch it again. It's
been some time. I've only seen, as I say, we've only seen bits and pieces, so it's hard. Don't want to sit here and brag about it and say it was a great fight and all that stuff, but we've seen bits and pieces, but maybe it'd be good to go back and watch it. We must have missed something.
That's one of those. I'm looking at the scores or the judges, right? And you look at it, and there's not a lot of close fights. Even the ones that did win. There's one split decision. David Grant Popov was the one split decision of the night.
Well, it was a lot of split decision in the main card.
Oh, the Clinton and Brew one as well, I remember, actually, when we were watching that fight, because we weren't that many sheets to the wind at that point. And I actually thought Gamzatov had actually won that fight. I thought he was really, really good. Yeah, I was quite happy with that.
He did win. It was a good performance by Gums. I thought I was quite impressed. He's the one that's 18-0, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's quite a dangerous prospect at 205, isn't he?
205. It's one of those divisions that's not exactly strong.
14-0, mate. Do you know what I mean? That's a good record. Okay, that was his UFC debut. He's still got a couple of things to do. He fought in the PFL, which is interesting.
There's a few guys on this that fought for PFL. I can't remember the other one.
That was at middleweight as well, so he's also decided he wanted to fight a bigger.
Nurmagomedov fought at PFL as well. There's a few fighters. I can't remember. I'm sure it was three or four actually. They'd all fought at PFL, and I was like, what the hell's UFC doing signing all these guys for PFL? Weird. Two good wins for Americans going into Russia. it was rocky stories every time, wasn't it? The Americans going to Russia. And
imagine if Carter and Hardy had won, but they'd have been like...
Oh, I don't think any Americans would have got there alive, man.
A couple of good runs. I'd say for Ed Herman and obviously Anthony Rocco Martin, Danny Roberts, you know, good wins for them against, you know, good Russian fighters. So
very good ones. Take it, well, Ed Herman against Ibrahimov. Ibrahimov's also one of these fighters. He was quite up and coming and all that, and he was supposed to do really good, but... Fair play to Ed Herman, do you think he'll get a job?
Rolling the years back, yeah, big end. Okay, anything else on that you think you want to talk about?
Don't think so, mate.
There wasn't much going on.
No, I was, even before the event, I wasn't buzzing for it.
Certainly not going to win card the Inside the Cage Award for Event of the Year.
No, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about what?
That's probably not going to be in the chat.
Nah, I don't imagine so. If that's in your chat, then we've really had a poor year.
That's true. So, predictions from the weekend.
Yeah.
We actually did not bad. We called 11 fights between us out of 13, which is pretty good.
I think that's pretty good. Not a bad record.
You called 9, and I called 8. So, it's not bad. We always say over half decent.
How did my 9 come? But I think this is quite impressive.
Ah, fuck off. So Mark got the first 4 wrong, and I was absolutely buzzing because I get 3 of the first 4 right. So I was like,
Scott's like, yes, I've won this. This is my week.
In fact, I actually got 2 of the first 4 right. But anyway, I was basically 2-0 up after 4. I'm like, this is in the bag. And he somehow managed to turn that round by 3 by winning. He basically predicted 9 in a row, right?
I think that's impressive, mate.
Basically from Robertson, Carol Robertson, right up to Zabit, you called them all right.
I'm quite happy with my performance.
I'm impressed, mate, aye, to be honest.
Except my first 3 or 4, I wasn't really sure. And sometimes it's just guesses, to be honest. You do, it's fighting, anything can happen at any moment.
I sometimes have a wee look at topology and look at their records and just have a wee quick look and see,
yeah, maybe see
what they do.
Hi, how they've fought before, maybe who's beaten them.
And I can't lie, I picked Nurmagomedov because he's Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, that's what I did as well before.
And you see, then again, as we said when we're reviewing this just now, we Zawada should not have submitted Nurmagomedov.
No, I don't think.
And that's why Khabib was reading, yeah, as we said. So, yeah, weird one. But yes, you did well. And you're actually two up as of 2-4-4 and this weekend. So I've got to turn around a 2-goal deficit in the second leg, you know. But 2 weeks to do it.
Two weeks to do it. See how this weekend goes and next weekend.
I don't care. I've defended it twice. I'm a bona fide champion. I'm buzzing, mate. I'm definitely going to go back and check all the predictions and see when we start this to see if you have defended. I think I've defended more than you. In fact, I definitely know you didn't defend it twice in a row, I don't think.
No, I think I defended it once.
So
then I think you won it, then I won it back.
And then I won it and I've defended it twice.
Aye.
So that would make sense because you've had it twice. You won the first one, I won it. You
I've won
it
3 times.
Have you?
I won it 3 times. I think you've won it 4.
How would that work? I mean, she was, oh, you defended it once. Defended the first month, you won the first one.
I won the first one, then I defended that, then right. You won it, then I won it back.
And I've had it since.
I think so.
I'm happy with that.
I'm glad you're happy.
I'm happy.
Good.
Because
good
you thought, you know, you genuinely believed you were going to absolutely school me at this, and this just no happened.
I'm disappointed with my performance and things, I can't lie.
I even got a clap emoji from Nick Pete, because I called, like, what, 10 out of 12 right one night?
I think well.
Boom.
It's frightening to anything happen, so you never know.
Okay, we'll move on. There was Bellator at the weekend. King Mo lost his final fight. Obviously, never nice to see a guy go out on a loss, but he obviously, everyone knew he was going to retire. Maybe it would have been nice for him to get a win on his final, but it was only a minute and 22 seconds in. You get the impression with that kind of finish. Muhammad Laval's fighting a guy I've never heard of. You think King Mo will be able to beat him, and he's lost a minute and 20. He's maybe not even given one single fuck.
No, he's absolutely here.
He's probably not even trained for it. He's cut the weight and went, right, oh, punch. Oh, I'm knocked out. No, I'm saying he threw it. I'm not saying that, but
of course he never threw it. He never, course, he's a fighter.
And a shame to see him, you know, obviously.
Yeah, if you're finishing your career, you really want to go out and win, don't you? That's the perfect way to do it. I've seen a lot of guys do that recently.
John Sauter took a good win against Costello Vince Dinas. John Sauter got a bit of a doing, man. His face after it, he was absolutely fucked. He took a bit of a doing.
This is good, man. Very, very good.
And that was only his second defeat. Do you know what I mean? So he's no mug, mate. That's his 14th fight in a race. Wasn't much else on the card, to be honest.
It's a bit of a Bellator card now.
But not much else on it, to be honest. Nobody really that jumps out at me anyway.
It's like there's a Bellator card on this weekend. We've talked about this earlier on. We'll look at it and I'm like, I don't really know if we will, because...
Yeah, so not much to say about Bellator. I haven't seen any of it. You made a fair point. Like, maybe we should actually talk about it. You made a fair point before we started. You basically said to me before we started that you think it's becoming like a second hand, not a second hand, like kind of in the background, there's nothing really going on.
Like we've always said Bellator's the level below UFC. Bellator is
championship level.
Whatever anybody else wants to be, Bellator's what they're aiming for, because nobody's ever got to match UFC. Maybe one eventually, maybe we'll get there, but...
Do you think PFL maybe is even bigger than...
Well, that's where I'm going with this. It's like, I don't know what Bellator is anymore. Bellator for me is becoming insignificant. I remember we show after show and this, we would just sit and we could talk about Bellator for 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that was doing was brilliant.
They were going in the right really direction for a bit.
Everything was looking good.
It was the start of this year, remember they had a card, was it not January 26th? The same night as, there was two big events on, it was a UFC and a Bellator card, and both of them, Bader, the final of the, that was a great card. Bader versus Fedor. It was a great card, mate.
Many things are happening now. Everything, all the eggs seem to be in one basket. And they've just had 3 or 4 months for me anyway, as a fan, because that's what we are, but just fans, 3 or 4 months of just, meh, it's stagnated for me. They did all this hype and all this, the build-up, what's the word I'm looking for, the build-up of interest, people maybe take more interest in Bellator, but they've totally killed that for me. Interest, I don't have any interest in Bellator.
No.
I'm really struggling to try and get back into Bellator, and I enjoyed Bellator for a while, and I just can't do it. And that signing that deal with Sky was a brilliant thing for the British TV audience, but it just
don't know done anything with it.
They've not capitalised on something that was really, really good for them, in my opinion, and it's such a shame. It really is. Maybe the next few months, maybe things will change. Hopefully, title fights, get some more title fights on their cards.
Well, I said to you when we were talking about before, you've got a guy who's tied up in the middle of a Grand Prix who's holding two belts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem straight away. Is he honestly going to defend his lightweight belt between the now and the final of that Grand Prix? No. Unless he loses his featherweight belt, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if he keeps his featherweight belt, if he gets to the final, he's not going to defend that lightweight belt. So they've got two belts tied up for potentially 18 months. So that lightweight belt, guys like Chandler, what does Chandler do for 18 months?
Just wonders a bit.
It's annoying, mate. It's frustrating. It really is. But hey,
Bellator's very frustrating.
Yes, right. We'll move on. There's one other card that Mark wants to talk about from the weekend, briefly, and that's Cage Warriors in Cork and Ireland, which
was the first time back.
Seemed like it was a good event. It was quite well done and all that.
It was the first time back in Ireland for a while. Also, this is Graham Boylan's hometown, so I think he was desperate to go back.
Is he from Cork, is he?
I think he was desperate to get back there. Rhys McKee was the headliner on this card, fighting Hakan Foss. Probably should have been a pretty good fight, because
mm-hmm.
Hakan Foss was a pretty good fighter. I don't know what's happened to Hakan Foss.
He's a couple of bad losses.
He's now 9-8, Hakan Foss. Don't get me wrong, Rhys McKee looks very, very good. He was a former Bama champion. I think now I don't know what's happening with Ross Houston. Obviously, we don't know where he is. He just seems to be kind of floating in mid-air. Nothing seems to be happening with Cage Warriors. Doesn't seem to be signing with MD, so we don't know.
Well, sure, there's a bit of a carry-on with Houston and Cage Warriors at the moment, because he was due to fight at Polaris, and he was signed, and they would let him. And his argument was, will you let Paddy the Baddy? And he get injured.
Mm.
Paddy obviously then said to Ross, maybe that's why,
because
he nearly done his...
That probably was. To be fair, it probably was, but...
The annoying thing is, though, from that point of view, is see if he wasn't allowed, why tell him in the first place? Why give him the opportunity to take the fight at Polaris and then change your mind? Like, that's really shitty. Because Ross has put it all over his social media saying, you know, oh, I'm doing this, I'm buzzing, you know, another level of my game. And I was invited to see him, because I've never seen him wrestle. I've never seen him do jits, you know, I've never seen him doing that. And obviously that's what I prefer when I watch this. I love watching Polaris. I fucking love watching Polaris. And I was excited to see him, but obviously now it's been canned. And I think that's the most annoying part for Ross. It's not the fact he's not allowed. It's the fact that he was allowed. He's told everybody, and now he's having to cancel it. And that's annoying. That's annoying for me as well. But
well,
you've got something that annoys you more than that.
Well, what I was going to say is, obviously, Rhys McKee, I think they're making a point with Rhys McKee. I try to make Rhys McKee probably the next big star. He's the next one that Cage Warriors really like to push. As I said, he was a former Bama champion. For Bama's just went totally off the face of the earth. I think they're really going to push him now. It wouldn't surprise me now that basically Ross Houston's next fight will be in Belfast next year. Because Rhys McKee, I'll rephrase that. Cage Warriors have announced three shows for next year. Three Irish shows. Two cards in Belfast and one in Cork, I think. The other one was in Cork as well. The Cork or Dublin.
It was something like that.
I knew it was a Republic.
It was two in Belfast. Basically, the Republic of Ireland was
in the middle.
Sandwiched in between the two Belfast cards, mate, yeah.
So basically what that tells Cork is the other one. So this is a push for Rhys McKee, the Northern Irish boy, to push him on, and I reckon he'll go on, he'll get his title shot probably against Ross Houston in Belfast.
In March,
when the first event happens. In March?
Yep.
Not me.
Is it May?
May 16th.
I thought it was March.
No, May 16th. So,
May 16th?
Ross, mate, I think that'll be our next fight.
It's my birthday weekend.
Be tracked to Belfast, mate, you fancy?
I'm up for that, mate. It's frustrating because, well, this is what's frustrated you. You're going to tell them because you've strung them all along for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now tell us what's pissed you off.
They've obviously pushed Rhys McKee and they've obviously got his Belfast card for Rhys McKee. Simple as, because there's not many other Northern Irish fighters. Joe McColgan's not a bad fighter. He fought the weekend as well. He does not too bad. He gets along well in Cage Warriors. Apart from that, I can't think of another Northern Irish fighter, can you?
Not off the top of my head. You obviously need to do some proper research.
So, for me, they're trying to push him. Why have they never pushed the Scottish fighters? Never pushed Ross Houston in Scotland. Never brought him back. Have a big fight event in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Also got Paul McBain, Scotty Malone. There's more Scottish fighters out there than there is Northern Irish, and for some reason they don't want to come back. Now, as a fan, I'd love to go and watch Cage Warriors.
You and I have talked about this before because I've said the same thing to you, and what was the one problem we always had? Where? That's the problem, mate. These towns have got these wee arenas that take 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people.
But they don't have to go to the Hydro, the Scottish Exhibition Centre. The Scottish Exhibition Centre has been built for things.
I don't see why they couldn't use the Hydro, because the Hydro, they shut off the top bit. They could easily use the Hydro. It's maybe that, it costs. I'd imagine it costs a fortune to book the Hydro.
The other one for me might be the Emirates Arena. The Emirates, you know, holds events all the time. What's that, 5,000, 6,000, I think? There's boxing on next weekend in the Emirates Arena.
But that would be perfect.
There's a massive fight in boxing this weekend, Scottish boxing, absolutely huge fight.
Oh, Cash Farouk
versus... I can't remember the boy's name.
Oh my god, that is shocking.
It's West versus East. It's got to be absolutely class. I was actually thinking of being done myself, to be honest.
Lee McGregor,
that's what it was. I was thinking of being done myself on Saturday night, but I don't know if it will happen. I think I've had absolutely super fights from BBC Scotland, I think, actually, anyway. So.
Aye, it's actually on the telly. I'm probably not going to see it. I might record it, but right enough.
Aye, so I think that'll be a class fight. So the fight sports are huge in Scotland. I don't know if maybe Cage Warriors haven't done their research and understanding.
It's maybe not about that, mate. It's maybe more about hype. Like, The Scottish, like, here's the thing, right? I'm not convinced that the fan base in Scotland is here in Scotland. Oh, bear with me, right? Because I know that sounds harsh, right? But just think about it for a second, right? We've got good fighters, yes. We've always had good boxers, yes. But when is it? There's not been that many big fighting events here. There hasn't been.
We've had most UFC events, but Cage Warriors.
Well, I know, but the couple of Scottish fighters on them, but UFC's different. UFC's a big, massive brand.
No, I know.
They can easily sell 10,000 tickets for the Hydro in Glasgow, no problem. It's only 10,000 tickets. In fact, I'd be amazed if that's even what they sold last time. I don't even know if it was all the way filled to the top. I don't think it was, mate. So if UFC struggled to sell it, I guess the problem with Cage Warriors is, again, we tell our listeners to go and listen to Cage Warriors, go and watch Cage Warriors, right? Because we like it. But see, what percentage of Scottish MMA fans in Scotland watch Cage Warriors? Do you don't know, mate? There might not be an audience here.
I've seen when you look through a lot of the Cage Warriors posts, like even the post of Dave when they done Belfast and they put the three events up for Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
See every single post I read? Why are you not coming to Scotland? Why are you not coming to Scotland? Why are you not coming to Scotland?
Yeah.
And it's everything in the earth. It was constant.
The SSC Arena in Belfast is 11,000.
11,000?
So if they can book the SSC Arena in Belfast, they can book the Hydro.
Well, even then, like, I'm on the Emirates Arena in Glasgow. Okay, Emirates Arena, smaller venue.
For tennis, that's what you would need.
8,000 for a tennis event.
Or basketball, which maybe slightly wider.
That's
what I would say, but 8,000 would be perfect.
8,000 perfect. So the Emirates Arena is absolutely perfect.
Would they honestly sell 8,000 tickets for Cage Warriors in Scotland?
I think so. This is Scotland, it's not one city, it's not just Glasgow, Edinburgh. The amount of people for Aberdeen, Inverness, would probably come down for it.
But that's the thing though, mate.
Come up from Newcastle.
That's my point. Like, is there enough fan base for Cage Warriors?
I think so.
I'm not convinced. Like, listen,
okay, what's the difference between Belfast and Scotland?
There isn't. But I'm going to talk about Belfast.
No, but that's my point. That is my point.
Yeah.
Why have they got two events in Belfast next year?
Maybe there's more. Maybe there is an audience. Maybe there is a bigger audience there. Maybe they've got more local shows. I mean, how many... Maybe Cage Warriors have got affiliations with things like On Top and Forza Fighting and stuff like that, and there isn't that big a demand for it here. Maybe there isn't, mate. Maybe that's just one of these things. Well, good MMA gyms here, good MMA fighters fighting in the biggest promotions. I mean, name another Irish fighter outside of the UFC, the Cage Warriors.
Okay.
Is there any in the UFC? That you know off the top of your head?
No. Nope.
I don't.
I think there's only two Republic of Irish fighters in the UFC.
Hmm.
That I can think of. Even M1's no fought for a year and a half.
And I can't think of any other Northern Irish fighters off the top of my head. I just can't. Like, obviously, we'd look into it properly, but... I don't know, mate. It's a difficult one. I would love to see Cage Warriors come to Scotland because I'd love that smaller kind of feel. I'd love that much. I'd love that kind of locally feel that Cage Warriors would give you. So maybe it's something for them to look at. It's frustrating.
Think you've got to look at it. I just don't understand it myself. I really don't understand it.
Maybe they are looking at it. Maybe they've just not booked it yet. Maybe it's just a case of they've done that first. I mean, that's May, right? So there's potentially two cards before that for Cage Warriors. Because they don't do one every month.
No, they're every...
About 8 a year.
It's usually about every 8 weeks or something, every 6 to 8 weeks.
So about 8 a year, maybe something like that. So that's 3 already. They'll definitely have 3 in London. That leaves another 2. So you'd think maybe one of them might be Scotland. Although they do Colchester and Liverpool, so maybe not. They always do Colchester.
Like
they always
a Danish one
then
again.
Or they love jumping abroad. So you just don't know, mate. I don't know, mate. I don't know.
I'll be surprised if they come next year. I really will be. Which I'm really surprised and disappointed. I'm really disappointed in Cage Warriors. I think it's a untapped market.
Mm.
Especially with the UFC not having been here for nearly 2 years now.
I want them to come so we can keep press passes.
No, I just want them to come so I can go really watch the fights.
Selfish. Okay, are you finished?
I suppose so.
Okay, we jump.
I'm not happy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we jump on to looking forward to the weekend then and looking at Blahovic versus Jacare.
Well, before we mention that, we'll start. We'll do the thingy last.
Oh, aye, because you get random Bellator on a Thursday night.
Is it Thursday night?
14th, which is Thursday in my book.
That is when you look at a calendar, aye?
Thursday night.
Where is that?
Israel.
That's fucking mad. That's Israel?
Tel Aviv, mate. Bellator.
That'll be like 6 o'clock. The main card will start at 6 o'clock here or something. 5 o'clock.
Yeah, which is when I'll be working. I'm watching on my phone at my desk. Which would be I work late on a Thursday. Well, I'm not going home. I'll be turning the message and I'm staying.
Oh, what the heck? A bad shipment's coming here.
There's nothing. Again, this is another thing about Bellator. Like, there's some guys on here with some decent records. Obviously, father and son, Ghazalis. That's a good you know, thing to talk about. Oh, father and son fight the same card. But we had that a couple of weeks ago with the boy...
McKee.
Aye, McKee.
AJ McKee.
AJ McKee and his dad, Antonio McKee, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You get... Obviously, we stopped calling him that. We've got Austin Van Der Ford.
Aye, because he's actually better than his missus.
Well, he's no better looking, that's for sure.
No, nobody's really better looking than MMA.
He's 8-0. I mean, he's, by all accounts, a good fighter.
A very good fighter.
Good record. He's fighting a big Russian guy who's got 10-3. Again, that's going to be something else.
I'll definitely try.
Olga Rubin.
Good fighter.
Aye, she got a title shot last time. She also beat that Cindy Dandwa. Remember, one of the first times we ever watched Bellator was she beat Cindy Dandwa. So, I mean, there's some names on this, but it's just one of these things that... Robson Gracie Jr. There's names kind of all on it, but nothing for us really to...
Not standard out for Jones. Karatonov is the main event, but
even then, Linton Vassell versus Karatonov. I mean, is that going to sell tickets?
No, probably well in Israel for some reason.
I mean, yeah, Gonzalez will sell tickets. I mean, straight away, but
yeah. Why Israel?
I don't know. They've been before. They've been a couple of times.
I know, but why?
It's maybe like why the UFC keep going back to Abu Dhabi.
Cash.
Money, right? Israel might pay money for it, mate. Like, that's the thing. That's the fight. Like, the Middle East is big for fighting sports. Maybe not so much boxing, but it's big for things like wrestling. And I mean, all your wrestlers come from I'm not being stereotypical, but a lot of your wrestling guys come from that part of the world. They come from UAE's, Jordan's, Qatar's, all these places, because Russia, you know, parts of Russia, like, it's all kind of connected, you know, like Azerbaijan and Georgia and all that. You get these big built guys that just like to fight, you know, so yeah. But yeah, something this weekend. There's also LFA on Friday night.
Yeah, LFA card on Friday night. This is its first card. I think this is the one that'll be in UFC Fight Pass. So if you've got Fight Pass, maybe check it out. I'm going to hopefully have a wee look.
Yeah, we'll try and catch some of it. We'll maybe
try and watch a wee bit of it, see if we've top our top fights or something like that. Don't know much about any fighters, but the LFA is usually quite a good background to send people to the UFC. So you should hopefully maybe see a couple of the kind of up-and-coming superstars of the future maybe here.
Yeah, I mean, LFA, UFC kind of tap into LFA and take some of the talent, so it's maybe a case for guys to go and, I'm not going to expect world beaters straight off the bat, but if there's some good quality MMA, then I'm all for it, mate. Do you know what I mean? That's what we say about Cage Warriors. You don't get a bad fight, Cage Warriors. So if it's a bit, it could be a bit like that. It could be a bit like an American Cage Warriors that it's slower level than Bellator. You know, it's down, it's kind of younger guys going for it, try up their level. We'll say that. The guy who's fighting the main event's got 10-4. He's not exactly unexperienced, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I look forward to it. I'm actually kind of buzzing to see a wee bit something different.
I think there's one guy I'm going to say might stand out. It's Rafael Costa, 11-2. That's probably the best record in the card, I would say. So,
I'm looking forward to it.
Jose Johnson. Don't know who Jose Johnson is. He's 10-5. So, you know, a bad fight. We cut our bantamweights. So, definitely try and check it out. LFA, no, there's a reason why the UFC have signed it. It's a good product. And they're going to sell something, buy something, doesn't sell.
They're not going to, well, they're not necessarily bought it.
But get involved in something.
Given the broadcast rights.
Yeah.
The way UFC have done this, by the way, see the Fight Pass is going to be the most viable thing for UFC eventually. Eventually, they'll put all their pay-per-views on it and stuff like that as well, I think, eventually.
I think eventually it might increase in price, but
It'll probably be a couple of years anyway down the line, because obviously they deal with ESPN, but it's basically, they need to get some more worldwide stuff though as well. Like, I know they've got Glory and they'll get the Pancras in Japan, stuff like that, but maybe going picking up some other ones, maybe a couple of other European ones. Let's see if they were to get KSW, man. Oh my god. So other than LFA and Bellator, there's no Cage Warriors, because it's got a week's break. I think it's a week's break, a couple of weeks break. It's London next, I think. We have UFC Fight Night, Blahovic versus Jacare. Woohoo. Also known as UFC Fight Night 164.
Don't be so excited.
22.
You don't need to be so excited.
Was that the weekend there, right? Is it Croatia? It was the weekend there?
Yeah, it was in Croatia.
Your man, see
Pudzianowski.
You know Marius Pudzianowski?
I know the name, I'm trying to remember.
Do you know why you know the name? Click on him. I'm dying to see if you remember, you know.
Oh, is this the guy that's a
World's Strongest Man?
Aye. I read about him.
I remember always watching him. You know, did you ever have a kind of strange obsession when you were a teenager watching that shit? I used to love watching him. It was great.
Weird, man.
And he was a World's Strongest Man, and he now fights
it's 10 years he's fought.
I know, which is terrifying because he's scary. He's old now, but right enough.
I've seen, in fact, you talk about World's Strongest Guy, right? I've seen a guy on, must have been Twitter or something like that, one of these videos, and this guy is fucking massive. Like, I think he's bigger than Pudzianowski, and Pudzianowski's obviously a big boy being a heavyweight, and this guy's just grabbing. Absolutely no technique involved whatsoever, just using the fact that he's got arms built like a train to try to take this guy's head off, and the guy's just running around.
Who is that?
I don't know, I can't.
Is that a big British boy, is it? Martin Ford?
No, I can't remember who it was, but he was literally running the octagon or the cage after the other guy just tried to take his head off. No technique involved whatsoever. There was absolutely no technique involved whatsoever, he was just literally just trying to take his head off his shoulders.
A bit of a product for UFC, maybe trying to look at picking up to
rights. Problem with that is KSW is probably kind of competing with Cage Warriors in a way, so would the UFC want to get involved in KSW? I don't know.
If it's just, right, you know, like, if it's just broadcast rights, mate, then it's, I'm all for it. The more MMA I can get on my Cage Warriors app, the better. Do you know what I mean? My Fight Pass app, the better. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely. I wouldn't be complaining if they got it anyway.
Right, can we do it now? Can we do Brazil now?
Sounds like you're desperate to talk about
it. I'm desperate to talk about our boys on it, mate.
I was going to say, there's only one thing I'm desperate to talk about on it, and that's that.
And that's because after this, Paul Craig's going to be ranked, and I'm absolutely buzzing. Buzzing.
Paul Craig is going to be the man.
He is. He's going to be a ranked Scottish light heavyweight.
He's going to main event Glasgow next year.
Damn tootin'.
By the way,
he's going to smash John Jones in Glasgow next year.
Fucking hell, man. You've just taken it too far.
I wanted to. I liked it.
No, honestly, I give him as good a chance as anything this weekend.
I really do. I really do. I know we're very critical, right? I know we are. We're critical against him against Menifield because...
I think we're critical against Paul Craig because we know he's sometimes better than he's shown.
And because we love him.
He's like just a great guy, man. It's just brilliant to see somebody like that perform at the highest level. He's a good Scottish guy, you know what I mean? And I think he has, as we say, I think he's not always performed to his highest abilities that he's got. And I think recently, his last couple of fights, he has got a lot, lot better. And he'd 100% deserve this fight. It's brilliant to see him taking it. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see him fighting, but
he'll do it.
Brilliant. Look, mate, he's got a good chance of doing it. Don't get me wrong, he's fighting a batty a legend. Do you know what I mean? Shogun is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
But he's very up and down in his old age, and this is his first fight since last December. So could be a bit of the age against him, a bit rusty maybe, I don't know. Bit interesting to see. You can't wait to watch it.
There's a few experienced guys scattered on this card, and there's one thing I want to talk to you about. You and I were quite critical of him last time we reviewed him, and that's Renan Barral. Now, you and I were quite critical of Renan Barral because in 3 of his last 4 fights, he's missed weight. And this is coming from a guy who was the UFC champion at his weight class.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have always been quite critical of him because of that reason, and I still am, to be honest. I think it's even more unprofessional from a guy who held the title at that weight. And you can't say it's because he's an older guy and doesn't know how to do it. The guy's 32.
He's not that old.
He's literally 6 months older than me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. And it's something that I can't stand it. I can't stand it when guys miss weight or ladies miss weight, whatever it may be, fighters miss weight. I think it's highly unprofessional. But for him to be a previous title holder, and to miss weight 3 times in his last 4 fights,
you look at it and you're like, wow, wee man, you are a bit of a legend.
I mean, he is stepping up now, to be fair. He's fighting a featherweight, right? Which is cool. So maybe that'll help.
Hope so.
I hope it helps because he is a legend, that's the thing, and that's what annoys me most. He is a legend, but it's annoyed me because he's missed weight. So it's a difficult one. But then again, look at, there's quite a lot of, you've got Francisco Trinaldo, who I vaguely remember thinking he was retired, but obviously I got that completely wrong. I generally thought after his last fight he said he was done, but I must have got that absolutely...
It's bizarre, isn't it, man? Or Brazil, you just love coming out for Brazil.
It was ridiculous, but there's loads of... Sergio Moraes versus James Krause, a good fight. James Krause is Megan Anderson's trainer, if you didn't know that.
You obviously talking about Renan Barral, but Douglas Silva...
Hmm?
Great fight, actually. If the two of them come out and perform like they can, that's a great fight.
Silva's stepping up as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's stepping up from bantamweight because he last got beat by Peter Yan. So he's obviously stepping up to fight. They're obviously both thinking maybe that's not the weight class for us. They're trying something different. There's names on it, mate. I'm actually not... Garagori, remember Garagori from Uruguay?
Mm-hmm. He's very, very good, man.
Really impressive. So somebody else, Jared Gordon, Charles Oliveira, the submission king. Buzzing, obviously.
Even I love.
That's my jam, man.
Even I love. I know we've
kind of maybe done the main event of this service by totally patching it, but...
We've not got there yet. We're building up to it. I'm not.
I've got no intention of talking about it.
Well, we need to talk about it.
For me, it's like...
Just because you hate somebody doesn't mean...
No, I don't hate. I don't hate Jackery. I don't. I just think this is, again, another guy who can't cut it at middleweight, stepping up light heavyweight. It's vibing all over again.
He's got to get knocked out.
I think Blahovic will knock him out. And listen, if I'm wrong, fair play. Hit me up, let me know. But I cannot see past Jan Blahovic. I just can't.
Nah, I think he's too good. He knows, you look at what's his last loss? Last loss against Thiago Santos. No shame he wasn't in Thiago Santos. Never in a million years that shit was a Thiago Santos. So he's going to go out there. I think he's got a point to prove still. I think Big Yan's really wanting his title shot.
Yan's the middleweight killer, because who was his last fight against?
Oh, he done thingy.
Done Rockhold. So he's the middleweight killer, he's going to kill this guy too.
Kill Jackery, then go and kill Wyman just for fun.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Well, Wyman's just been killed already though.
I know, but
do it again?
I know.
There's also the Elbow Queens on this. Is that the Violence Queen?
Ariane Lipsky.
Or Elbow Queen, Lena Landsberg. She's the Violence Queen, I'm sure.
Yeah, Ariane.
The Violence Queen.
Yeah.
That's literally her name.
Yeah, I know, but she's not really proven it yet.
No, she hasn't, but that would be a good fight as well.
That would be decent.
I like Veronica Macedo. She's a good fighter. She's a last minute replacement for Priscilla Cachoeira because she got found guilty or something. She got tested positive for a diuretic.
Lovely.
Yeah, cheating bastard.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. No, some good fights on this card. Check out Marcus Perez, is always entertaining to watch. Andy Brown, Bobby Green, there's some good guys on this, it should be good.
Wellington Turman.
But decent night, I think.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. It's
got to be better last weekend.
We'll see. We'll see. There's some good fights on it. Good fights on it.
I feel like, I just hope it's not going the way of Bellator, but just putting cards on for, say, putting a card on every weekend.
No, I don't think so. I think obviously the main event, has this always been the schedule? It's always been the schedule main event. There's obviously something there. You know, it's a actual main event. You know, it's like properly arranged. Obviously.
I just don't know. I'm looking at this and going, and you always want to like an event and going, right,
what have they seen here? Why
what's the direction
this?
In that? And I can't see a direction in any of these fights, are.
Yeah, well, Paul Craig's last minute replacement for Shogun for Sam Alvey. But then again, that then becomes much bigger deal for Paul Craig.
It's never a bigger deal because of the replacement.
I think Shogun Sam Alvey was really a nothing fight.
I wouldn't have done anything for us. We'd have probably skipped over that.
No, I'll probably watch it. I like watching Smiling Sam because he's also happy and smiley, and then see when he gets something happens to him, he's fucking raging, man. He's always raging when something happens and
something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault.
He's murder. Anyway, that's what we look forward to the weekend.
Just one thing before we move on. Poster for this is probably one of the best UFC posters for a while.
Ah, it's cool, man. It's really cool.
It's a class poster.
It's a really good poster.
Most of the posters have been pretty generic.
There's been some really good ones, though, man. Do you remember the Chinese one, Blades and Ngannou?
We've done that for a while, that's what I'm saying, but they've been quite generic recently. That's probably the best one I've seen for a while.
I'd love to collect them. That'd be amazing.
That'd be quite good to do, but again, that's going to take up a hell of a lot of space.
Masvidal Diaz was good with the parental advisory.
Yeah, that was quite good to feel. But there's not been many, that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at last week's Zabit versus Kata.
It was very, very Russian, though. Very Soviet.
What, because it's got some... like a starburst red.
No, it just looks very, just the design of it. I just thought it, just felt it worked. But obviously you don't.
I get shy.
Okay.
I'll tell you how it is, mate, don't worry about that.
Okay, so do you have any news, Mr. Newsman?
I don't really have any. Uh-huh. Honestly, it is pathetic. I've been looking through it and I'm like, is this what's happened? Because a lot of it's just kind of been big fights, so the big fights then create the news, and nothing else is really happening around it.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks' time, though, like, a couple of things, Rosenstrike obviously been putting it against Overeem.
Yeah, because of the kind of situation with
Will Harris, and obviously
his stepdaughter. Yeah,
that's a shame for Will Harris. So, but fair play to Rosenstrike, it's good for him, great move for him, she's a big decent fight. That's the headliner for DC, so.
Dangerous fight for Overeem, man.
Oh, massively dangerous, man. But he's looked better, in his last fight. Overeem.
I know, I'm just dangerous because he's fighting he's an unranked guy.
No, of course.
Overeem's kind of like, no, he did say to me, he's been a bit blasé about it. He's not got much left, he's just enjoying it, so.
Fighting for fun, isn't he?
Exactly.
So, looking forward to that. Now, Thomas Gifford. We spoke about it last week that he took an absolute beating. And the UFC have just handed an even better beating and just told me, basically, jail me, but you're
no
not
thanks.
No thanks. So Thomas Gifford's been released by the UFC. Seemed a bit harsh because he was totally outclassed.
I don't know if it was maybe a joint thing. I think he's maybe said, I don't imagine the UFC would release a guy after getting beat that badly like that. I think the UFC would have a due care to him. I really do. I think he's
like to think there was a reason for it. It wasn't just a case of, like, you were totally outclassed, Getty.
Exactly. Because you can't, I mean, although that is technically the game, if you're not good enough, you'll get cut. But it was only two fights he had in the UFC.
Exactly.
So I think it's probably been a 3-fight contract. He's went to him, listen, I'm clearly not on this level. You know, and they've maybe said, listen, we appreciate that, and they've, I'd imagine it's been a two-way street, mate. I don't imagine the UFC have went, listen, mate, you're hefty shite, I mean, fuck off.
I would like to think not, mate. I really would.
But then, coming for Dana White, you just never know.
Well, you know what Dana's like, man. He's seen guys before because they didn't finish fights, even though they've absolutely dominated fights.
That's true.
For fight after fight after fight, he just refuses to sign them. As I said, not much. This one doesn't really work on a podcast. This is more for us.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the poster for Rising versus Bellator, the Rising Bellator
no.
promotion thing. We'll talk about posters. This is one of the best posters I've ever seen.
Is that Mount Fuji?
Basically, that's Statue of Liberty standing in front of Mount Fuji.
That's pretty cool.
That is epic for me, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm up for that. That's pretty awesome.
That's a tremendous poster. Check it out. You've got to go check that out. As I said, it doesn't really work on a podcast, but I had to bring it up because it was just that tremendous. What else have I got? I don't know. This is a bit of a crossover. Seen the video Tyson Fury? It becomes news. It's going to become news.
Yeah.
Is he going
to
get involved?
I need to get better with this. I need to get better before the podcast to talk about shit I don't like, because I just don't want to talk about that shit. I'm just not interested at all.
But it's going to be interesting.
He had some serious good elbows and a pretty good knee, to be fair.
Well, even you heard Darren telling the fucking video, going like, Jesus Christ, that was body, so... And then I broke my arm. So he's going to be he's a big man, he'd be a big unit, he's twinkle feet, he'd probably dance around a lot of the heavyweights.
Can he get to 265? What is the limit for heavyweights of boxing? Is it 265?
I don't actually know, mate. It's a good question.
Just wonder if he can make the weight. Because he looks very heavy.
Very good question.
He's a very, very big, very, very heavy looking guy, and I'm not, but that's, not that's no disrespect to no disrespect him, to be honest, because at the end of the day, that is what it is. You know, he's a heavyweight guy and that's it. But obviously, to get to 265, you've seen guys having to cut weight. I mean, look at Hardy. Hardy's a big, heavy guy. Hardy has to cut.
Hardy's an
absolute unit, man. Aye, so is he bigger than Hardy? He's taller than Hardy. So he's going to be heavier than Hardy, I would
basically
imagine.
But it's lots of things. If in boxing, as long as you're over 200 pounds, you could basically fight whoever you want.
There's no top limit?
I don't think there's a top limit that I can see.
I see, then he'd have to be. So, what is Tyson Fury then? How heavy is he?
I feel like I've done my research here, sure enough.
No, it's just about having a chat, mate. That's what the podcast is all about. Having a chat and seeing, you know, you brought up a bit of news that I wasn't interested in, now I'm interested, so. It's kind of probably my fault.
You've started.
You expect me not to talk to you about it, and then I've just
started going, man. 117 kilos, which
was 2.40 a pound, so. That's like well over 206. No, maybe not.
What, 100? Did I say 117 kilos?
Yeah. Right. In pounds.
Pounds.
Go about 2.
257.
So, there you go. So, he should be alright then. He wouldn't need to cut any weight.
I don't think he'd need to cut any weight.
He's definitely got the cardio. You've seen him.
He could box for days, man.
He went 12, was it 12 or 15 he went with?
12.
We'll 12.
Don't
really
get
12?
15 anymore now.
No?
No, we'll get 15 anymore. Shows
you my knowledge of boxing.
I know, he's there's so many different aspects to MMA, obviously. Don't get me wrong, every single, I probably have heavyweight, he could actually probably box their ears off for fun, because just that's what he is, and that's what he does to every boxer on the face of the bloody earth, because he is the best on the planet.
Best technical boxer,
best heavyweight. Best technical boxer on the planet, so.
A heavyweight.
So it'd be interesting to see, don't get me wrong, he obviously had his wee stint in WWE for one fight. Apparently he's got another couple of fights coming up in that as well, by the way.
Only wondering if they're paying him 15 million.
I would do it. I'd happily go and do it for 50 million a year. Or 50 million a fight, whatever it is.
No, it's all predetermined. And
I know, so I'd go and do it.
I'd take 3 UFC fights against him for 15 million.
True.
But in the last 10 seconds, one punch, like, go, mate. Good, I'm out.
So, hi. That's good. A lot, mate. That's
can
a,
you?
That's how bad it is.
Good. Hey guys, thank you for listening. As always, listen, you guys have got us to 1,000 listens, which we broke that record during the week, and it was an amazing feeling. I didn't really know how I would be buzzed. It's been slowly creeping up to it the whole time Mark was away in Australia, and I wasn't sure if we'd hit it by the time we get back, and I wasn't really sure how I felt about it, because I was at 990 odd, you're like, oh, we're close, and I didn't seem that buzzed, but when we hit it, I was proper buzzing, so... Thanks to you guys. We don't listen to it. We listen to it when we record it, and that's it. So you guys are doing the listening, so we appreciate it. Remember, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Inside Cage MMA. Inside the Cage, it's called. As you know by now, it's a blue saltire with Inside the Cage right across the top of it. Drop us a line and share the podcast, please. If you listen, just click the share button. That's all we ask.
No hard.
You don't have to subscribe or anything. We'd like you to, or rate it. That'd be great, but sharing would be the big thing. And yeah, we'll... Catch you next week.